ओम ज्ञान चुमिनंदस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकाया चक्षुर्विदितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मायां ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम्. श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासाय हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. वी हैव हर्ड टू पावरफुल हार्टफेल्ट and brilliant discussions of the verse and the stage of Ruchi. We heard from Burijan Prabhu that when we engage in the process of chanting and hearing, in the effort to chant and hear without offense, we are confronted by desires for wealth, followers, beautiful poetry and knowledge and so many other things that we do not in principle want. And we have to say no, no, no to these things, to these desires. We discussed yesterday in the small group on the roof how when we first come to the association of devotees, we seem to be free from other desires. We really just want nothing but Krishna and Krishna service, and Krishna consciousness. And then later, desires resurface. Why? How does that happen? And what do we do about it? I was telling Burijan Prabhu the other day how, as a university student, I was on a spiritual quest to find a guru. And I met many, but none of them satisfied me. And I had come to the stage where I had almost given up hope, because I'd been to so many and I was just not satisfied with any of them. And finally, when I had practically given up hope, I saw a poster on my university campus. Lecture on Bhagavad Gita as it is, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. But I was so discouraged by then, I already had other plans for the evening. But in the end, I did go to the program, and then the next day I went to the temple. And I asked Srila Prabhupada the question that had been burning within my heart, which was, there are so many different swamis and yogis, and each one is advocating a different process of self-realization. And each one says that his is best. So how do I know which is actually the best? And Srila Prabhupada replied most intelligently with the question, what is your goal? Do you want to serve God or do you want to become God? It's a very intelligent question because I'm asking what's the best means. But the question is, what end do you want to achieve? You'll choose the means that is suitable to the end. And then Srila Prabhupada said, if you are not God, if you want to become God, it means that you are not God now. And how can not God become God? He said, God is always God. He doesn't have to become God by yoga or meditation. And he said, Krishna is God when he's playing on the lap of Yashoda. He's God when he's speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He's always God. And then he said that if you take the seed of service to God and water it by chanting, God will provide the water and sunlight and all the conditions favorable for making your service grow. But if you want to become God, why should God help the competition? He said, God is within you. He's in your heart. He's there to help you. And you can become godly, but you cannot become God. And if you want to become God, you're only cheating yourself. Now, at that time, I had an apartment off campus, and I had the feeling that Srila Prabhupada was looking straight into me, straight through me, through the walls of the temple, down the roads to Waltham, Massachusetts, into my apartment, into my bathroom, where on the wall I had written my own ornate handwriting, "You are God." I had to remind myself that I'm for God. And Srila Prabhupada, I just felt he was seeing that sign. He was seeing that sign on my wall, and he knew everything. And finally, after such a long search, traveling here and there, and meeting so many swamis and yogis and Zen masters and philosophers, I felt I had found my perfect master. Then he said, so what do you think? Do you want to become God or do you want to serve God? So by then I understood. And I said, I want to serve God. But that, I know I couldn't teach Srila Prabhupada. I knew he already knew this. I want to serve God, but actually I realized I wanted to become God. He said, yes. So I bowed my head onto the floor in surrender. But it wasn't just surrender. I felt that I had been exposed in the assembly of devotees, that my abominable desire to become God had been exposed. And I imagined that if I got up too quickly, they would all be looking at me and glaring at me. Oh, he wanted to become God. He wanted to become God. So I waited, and there's some distribution of prasad. They brought a big plate to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, I am not God, I cannot eat all of this. Distribute. So I could hear the sound of prasad was being distributed.
Were you bowing down all this time?
Yeah. There was a light mood in the temple. Everyone seemed very happy. Then I felt it safe. I could come up. And then when I did, I looked around very sheepishly. I saw everyone was smiling. They weren't glaring at me like I expected. So I was happy. I have come to the right place and the right conclusion by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And those first days, of course, when Srila Prabhupada was there for 2 weeks, those days were extraordinary. But even after he left Boston, those days were extraordinary. And to me, all the devotees seemed like pure devotees, and all the activities were so relishable and extraordinary. And then, somewhere along the line, some months or years or decades later, I realized that it wasn't so simple. When I began the effort to chant attentively, when I began reading different things and attending japa retreats, I found that my mind is preoccupied with different thoughts. And when I analyzed those thoughts, I came to the conclusion that the underlying premise is that I'm God, that I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm the proprietor. I'm the body, yes, but within that false identification, the idea that I'm the enjoyer and controller and proprietor. So what Srila Prabhupada seemed to have disposed of in 20 minutes, and which I seemed to have resolved within 20 minutes, seemed to have a deeper level to it that has to be addressed. And what happens, it's true of me, but I think it's true in a general sense as well, that my godbrother, His Holiness Shivaram Swami, has analyzed this quite elaborately, actually with reference to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that we receive the seed of pure devotional service. It's really the seed of pure devotional service. But unless we keep very close association with pure devotees, or in other words, if we associate too much with mixed devotees and not enough with pure devotees, we can mix desires with the pure desire to serve Krishna only for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. And thus we can become weak. This verse, Nadanam Najanam Nasundari, it sort of parallels, and Bhurijan Prabhu quoted it, the basic definition of pure devotional service in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you know, anya vilasita sunyam, without any other desire, that's nadanam najanam nasvari. And bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitvai, that's anukulyena krishna anushilana, that's pure devotional service. So the remedy for, these other processes, yes, anya vilasita sunya jnana karma anavartam. So jnana and karma and all other processes are weak compared to bhakti. And if you add any of those processes to bhakti, the mixture is weaker than pure bhakti. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking in Boston and he saw a sign painted on the wall of a building, unalloyed steel. And Srila Prabhupada said, they are advertising unalloyed steel and we are advertising unalloyed devotional service. And he said that an alloy could be like another metal inferior to steel that's added to it. So it becomes an alloy. And that may not be as strong as unalloyed steel. So they're advertising unalloyed steel. So these, they go together, this desire for wealth, that can go with karma. So many things, the desire for liberation can go with jnana. And thus, we become weak. We become weak in our devotional service. We don't have the same enthusiasm. We don't have the same taste that we had at the beginning. So what to do? And His Holiness Shiva Ram Swami, and again, much of what he says is based on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says the solution is to associate with pure devotees. By associating with pure devotees, hearing the pure messages of Godhead from pure devotees and serving them, that original seed that became weakened by associating with mixed devotees and or karmis and jnanis and yogis and whatnot, we can come back to our original position and be cultivating pure devotional service. So this is something that we really have to seek. Something we really have to seek. His Holiness Satchinandan Swami raised the issue, where do we find such pure devotees in ISKCON? And that is a very, that is a question that may come to mind. And I can relate a personal incident in my own life, because I had served under some very prominent and powerful leaders in the movement who had eventually left. One after the other. And after one of them left, not the first, I resolved within my heart, I am never going to put my faith in anyone else except Srila Prabhupada. This is like a firm resolution. And it was a, and I was sort of stationed in Mauritius in South Africa, which were really out of the way. And because of the fall downs of these prominent leaders, devotees all over the world were just struggling to sort of hold on to what was there and consolidate what was there. No one was ready to come to Mauritius or South Africa. They were too busy in their own places. So somehow I managed to get a week or two to go to the United States. And there I met, I went to Dallas and I met my old friend Tamal Krishna Goswami. I didn't bring up any topic, I just said that, you know, I felt I needed more association and it was hard to get it in Mauritius and South Africa. He said, well, you have to go out of your way to get it. But then he sort of brought the discussion to a deeper level. And he said that with all of my association with Srila Prabhupada, and he had more personal association than any of us, practically more than anyone, and with my three initiations from him, his first, second, and sannyas, I still do not feel that my relationship with Srila Prabhupada alone is enough to sustain me and impel me further in my spiritual life. I also feel the need for Shiksha Gurus in my life. And then he named a list of some of his godbrothers whom he considered to be his Shiksha Gurus. One was His Holiness Shivaram Swami, one was His Grace Purijan Prabhu. And there were a number, I don't remember all the names. And I was listening to him, but within my heart, I was thinking, you know, I can't place my faith in anyone else again. I just can't. Then the next morning, it was a very intense japa in the temple room. Everyone was there. It was the era when everyone went to Mangal Arati and chanted their rounds in the temple and attended the class. So it was a very intense mood. Everyone chanting very intense japa. And at a certain stage, it was sort of like walking around the temple, chanting, Tamal Krishna Goswami was walking a little behind me. And it just dawned on me that actually what he said is true. You know, I'm hoping or pretending that my relationship with Srila Prabhupada alone is enough, but actually it's not. What he said is true. And it occurred to me that he was meant to be a Shiksha Guru to me. And gradually that list increased. Now I'm sitting between two of the most prominent ones. And we need that support. We need that support. And you know, I think not everyone, but some people contemplate, you know, looking elsewhere. But my own conviction, and I've had the same discussion with many godbrothers, is that we want to be, well, this is also Rupa Goswami's definition. Swajati Ashaye Svinde Sadhu Sangha Svatobare, one of the five most potent forms of devotional service, is Sadhu Sangha. And Rupa Goswami gives the definition. Swajatiya means swajati, sort of in the same community, or like-minded. It's a like-minded. Swajati ashaye, have the same desires. Snigde, that word can be interpreted in, not interpreted in different ways, but applied in different ways according to how you combine the Sanskrit words. But it can mean someone who is affectionate to you. That's very important. Of course, all advanced devotees are affectionate in a general sense. I mean, but you want to have someone with whom you have that affectionate relationship. And Svatobare, who is more advanced, is a critical factor, who is more advanced than you are. Now, I discussed this point, or maybe I should say, His Holiness Sachinandan Swami discussed this point with me many years ago at Radha Kund. It might have been his first year, one of his first years, but he had undertaken a very severe namrat, if that's the right word. And he hardly had any time to meet and talk, but he was kind, and he did find some time to meet me. And he discussed this idea. And he said that externally, it may not look like one of us is more advanced than another, because we're all born around the same time. We're all, I mean, a lot of us are from America or Europe, and we didn't learn Sanskrit or Bengali. And so from a certain point of view, we're all more or less the same. Not like born in India, learned scholars in Sanskrit and Bengali and so on. But internally, I can think that, as Sachinandan Swami said in our discussion, he said, internally, Giriraj Swami may be thinking, oh, Sachinandan Swami, he's more advanced than I am. I can learn from him. And then he said, I, Sachinandan Swami, I can also think, oh, Giriraj Swami, he's more advanced than I am. I can learn from him. Of course, that part's not true. The first part was true and is true. And so he was saying that if we have that mood, that internal mood of seeing our contemporaries as more advanced, as devotees that we can learn from and benefit from by staying in their association and serving them, then that condition of svatobare can be fulfilled within ISKCON, even among devotees who appear to be peers. And that has been a very valuable advice. It's something that I've kept in mind. That's part of the reason I'm here, sitting between these two superior Vaishnavas and Shiksha Gurus. So I think that from that association, as both of our speakers have said, from that association, we can hear the quality of Krishna Katha that will purify the heart and give us taste, which is really what we need. And just maybe to add one last point on that, on the question of devotees leaving. How is it that a devotee can leave after so many years? This was when Tamal Krishna Goswami visited me in Carpinteria. And the first thing he said was that we need to have taste. We need to derive pleasure from the spiritual practices of Krishna consciousness. And then the other thing he said is that we need to have loving relationships with God brothers or God sisters. And he related that to sadhu sangha. We need sadhu sangha. So I think that's basically what we've been hearing here, that we need to develop taste, the sooner the better. And we need to stay in the association of like-minded devotees, in the association of pure devotees, who will strengthen our tendency for pure devotional service, and will cut away our false attachments, material attachments, mistaken tendencies to engage in other activities, you know, karma, jnana, yoga. I mean, those could be translated into terms that we're familiar with in our day-to-day lives, but I hope you all can understand how those terms relate to different activities that we add to bhakti, add to pure devotional service, thinking that we'll get something by adding them that we won't get just by pure devotional service. So I pray to always stay in the association of pure devotees, and to realize through their association the full value of what Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have to give us. Hare Krishna.